Hi, Steve Sadak here from the podcast you're listening to. Have you ever wanted to see We Hate Movies live? Well, if you live in Atlanta, Houston, or Austin, Texas, this spring you can. That's right. This spring, we are hitting the road and going a bit south to bring you folks comedy that only jaded New Yorkers could come up with. First up, on April the 25th, we are going to the City Winery in Atlanta to talk about Gamer. That's that Gerard Butler movie where a little kid gets to control him through his television or something. Expect a lot of axe in this one. Then, after a short break, we're going to be doing a two-night dance in Texas. On May 14th, we'll be at the Houston Improv talking about a Houston classic, RoboCop 2. That is, to date, the only RoboCop sequel Peter Weller could get out of bed for. It's also got a little kid gangster, a Frank Miller script credit, and a drug called Nuke. You gotta come out and see that live. Then, the very next night, it's gonna be a dark night as we stroll into Cap
City
Comedy Club in Austin, Texas to do a live We Love Movies episode on From Dusk Till Dawn. Bank robbers versus vampires. Harvey Keitel versus a southern accent. And Salma Hayek's little toes versus Quentin Tarantino's wet mouth. It's going to be a slobber knocker and it's all going to be live on stage. You definitely don't want to miss this Texas two-step, so definitely come out for both shows. Now, all ticketing info is at whmpodcast.com/tour. So go there right now to get your tickets. Right now, before it's too late. WHMpodcast.com/tour right now for our spring tour that kicks ass.
This week on the program, crack open a flat beer and get ready to get dumb because we're talking young Einstein. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Crikey, Steven Sadak.
Young Eric Siska.
Tasmanian Chris Cabin.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in, as always. If you're new to the program, especially if you're finding us down under, this is a comedy show where we take a movie, good, bad, or otherwise, kick it around for a little bit. And this week, yes, indeed.
We got a good movie.
Yahoo Serious' 1988 feature debut, Young Einstein.
Yes. Thank you, Eric. Thank you so much. Thank you for being the only fan of this movie. Thank you.
I am a fan of this movie. It's okay to like a movie. So if you're listening down under, where this is, I think, part of like the national anthem.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And of course, I made this movie with my brother, Google Grimm. And we talk about it. And we have a brother. Hey, oh, come over here. This is Bing Batty.
Do you think any awards ceremony like Nick Cave and Yahoo Serious had to introduce an award?
Probably. Oh, that'd be awesome.
Oh, man, brought on stage at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Please welcome Nick Cave and Yahoo Serious. Even the announcer's got a question mark.
Oh, yeah. You made that record, Murder Ballads. Were those, did you actually murder anybody?
Yes, I did, Yahoo.
Okay. Oh, dear. Could somebody get a police? A 911, please.
Can I call you anything other than Yahoo?
Yeah, I think that his name kind of did him in.
Yeah, it certainly did. Yeah.
Young Einstein coming down the street with a blunderbuss. Oh, God, oh, God. He's got a beer right hand.
Speaking of music, I think the soundtrack is awesome. Of this.
Best banger. Part of the movie. 4-star soundtrack, so no doubt about it.
So good.
No doubt about it.
Movie's pretty good, too.
This is indeed the last week of Listener Request Month here on the show. And we got the call here for the great person that requested this. Let's listen in.
My name is Ryan from Minneapolis, and I would like to request a movie I inexplicably saw a million times as a kid, Young Einstein.
Sounds familiar.
From Yahoo Serious, the brilliant twisted mind of Yahoo Serious.
Thank you.
Circa 1989, The Summer of Batman.
It's true.
That's my movie.
Ryan's experience in the summer of Batman with Yahoo Serious. Oh God!
We got to start marking time, but like before summer of Batman, after summer of Batman.
Absolutely, that's totally right. That's right.
Batman's our new Christ.
Batman Forever was like a real fucking. I remember that like summer. Like that was the summer of Batman.
Really? For you, but for someone a little older, 89 was the real summer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, mine was, I was not on board, not that I wasn't on board with Batman, I just did not see that 89 movie in 89.
Yeah.
My go-to-the-theater Batman was Returns. Mm.
Yeah.
That's what got me into it.
I think I saw them all. I think I was there for all of them.
Yes, I did too.
But for the thing with Forever was, like, Batman seeing that in the summer is like...
Forever or Returns?
I'm saying the first Batman, the summer of Batman, what was weird about it was that it was a winter movie. I was just like watching it. And I was like, okay. And same thing with, like, I was just like, all right. Batman Forever, though, feels like a summer movie.
It does.
Yes. Colorful, poppy, not really wintry stuff.
Not set at Christmas.
That's a good thing.
Erect nipples on those suits.
So very good. Oh, yes. Does suggest winter, but is not winter.
Speaking of erect nipples, let me just hit play real quick.
Oh, no.
It's got to do it for somebody. It's the VHS trailer game. I am your Jave Master, Steven Sadek, and these are my clues. It is a really fun game that we play here far too infrequently, which is entirely my fault.
Yeah. See, yell at Steve, everybody. You're fucking saying, where's the game? Yell at Steve.
Exactly. People might think that I'm trying to stop this.
No.
Delay.
Yes.
I've had health issues, folks. We're all doing our best
and
here.
I've also been tied up in the courts.
So it's the VHS trailer game. As you all know, I'm going to give these guys a couple of clues off of the trailer, off of the VHS that I found on YouTube of Young Einstein, an Australian VHS, by the way.
Oh, dear.
But all the movies are American and are of 88, 89.
Batman.
Just you're going to go for Batman right now. It's 12 points.
Eric, you should be happy. He's not on the ballot.
Right. Yes,
Batman's not on the ballot.
No, Steve's not. Should be very happy.
Right.
I'm going to ask these guys a series of questions, and if they buzz in incorrectly, they're out for the round, but they can come back for the next round. There's going to be four rounds of fun entertainment for the whole goddamn family.
I like that.
Okay.
Here we go.
The most stressful part of my life.
Well, you got it pretty good then, dude.
I was going to say. I do.
Round one.
Mm. Mm.
Game Master's Clue.
Now I'm hard.
Okay.
A bottom of the barrel buddy cop comedy combo starring a multi Oscar winner that we've covered on this show before, also turned into a Disney Plus series for some reason. Eric Siska.
Turner and Hooch?
It is Turner and Hooch for 5 points.
Very nice.
Oh, my God. Yes, the tagline. The trivia was Henry Winkler was fired from that movie, if you'll remember.
Vaguely remember.
Yeah, he was fired from that movie. For
good.
Some. Because he's like, I got along better with Hooch than Turner, if you know what I mean. So we've got round two. So that's a good Turner and Hooch.
There you go.
Fun old episode.
You could see like Tom Hanks' whole dick in that movie, kind of.
Yep.
Like,
really?
Yeah. Just the whole outline.
Tidy whities.
Do
for
a
sure.
fucking Disney Plus show on that.
Has Josh Peck shown his penis?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Not on the Disney Plus show anyway.
Oh, well, they got to sneak it in.
They can't get a second season.
I was just about to ask.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay. Round two.
Okay.
Game Master's Clue. A weepy drama that centers on an aspiring singer and her best pal. That's more likely well remembered for the breakthrough hit song than the movie itself. Late 80s. A weepy drama. Chris Cabin?
Beaches?
It is Beaches.
Oh, wow.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Chris is the wind beneath our wings.
That is the song, folks. That is the one
there. 3 points.
The trivia would have got you guys. The film was famously referenced in the Seinfeld episode, The Understudy, in which Jerry's girlfriend is reduced to tears by the climactic scene, but leaves him unmoved.
Oh, no.
Never saw
I never saw it.
Nah, I never.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
What business do I have watching Beaches? Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean?
It was on TV a lot. I stayed and I watched.
Yeah. And my mom was watching it, you know. But I was like, I'm going to go in the other room.
Yeah.
All right.
Good song, though. I like that song.
Wind Beneath the Wings.
Mom, I got to prepare for the next summer of Batman. You watch Beaches. I'll be in the other room.
Watching Batman. All right. Round three.
Come on, Andrew.
Game Master's Clue.
Mm.
an anthology film about the greatest city in the world, crafted by three of its most famous Andrew Jupin.
New York Stories.
It is New York Stories.
Oh, nice. Greatest city in the world. You just get, boom.
That's
you
know right. I knew it. That's Mr. Scorsese, Mr. Coppola's, and Mr. Allen.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yes. Because Jesus. One of whom is currently canceled.
Mm. I mean, that was the end of the clue.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
That's a soft one to call him, man.
Yeah. It's beyond...
Hey, man, we're having secret New York City watch parties for his latest movie. Oh, so.
Are they really doing
oh,
this?
Yeah, oh, dude. Yeah. Don't tell really? Me being canceled is a real thing.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, it's true. It's pretty.
Give me a break.
It kind of only helps you.
Uh-huh. And the final clue of the round.
Yep.
Game Master's Clue.
Okay.
A comedic icon wouldn't leave his John Wayne impression at home when he was tasked to lead this prep school drama. A comedic icon wouldn't leave his Eric Siska.
Dead Poets Society?
It is Dead Poets Society. Okay. Another big five for Eric Siska.
Man, I could see Robin Williams standing on that fucking desk and I couldn't think of the name of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of hilarious. The trivia is at the premiere, Kurtwood Smith saw a family with a father domineering his son very much like his own character in the film. After the film, Smith noticed the family leaving and he saw the father was crying. What have I done?
Oh, no. He's going to hate me like in the movie.
And you see, that's the power of the cinema, is that sick fuck learned.
I went up to him and I said, bad father bitches leave.
Oh, dude, getting roughed up by... Imagine getting pushed against the wall by Kurtwood Smith.
I'd evacuate my bowels.
I would come.
So much like Batman, Yahoo Serious wrapped up in the Warner Brothers. We get Warner Brothers logo here, and it's fun because there's a didgeridoo blaring
immediately letting you know.
Wow.
Oh man, what a stupid movie! But like, I think it's well crafted stupid.
Well crafted stupid. Yeah, I mean, I guess I can see that. It's just my feeling on all this is that it's just not my kind of stupid.
Yeah,
it's just a little too cute, a little too. Does everybody get it? And it drove me fucking crazy.
I don't like. It is. It feels more than any other movie of this kind. It feels specifically for kids.
Yeah.
There is like a kind of nonsensicalness. There's no engine to this movie. The thing just jumps from scene to scene. It doesn't really go. And I think that's the positive thing I have to say about it is that like
that it's 90 minutes of annoying vignettes.
And it seemed to, as a kid, it definitely worked. And as Eric can test, it definitely worked.
Is the formula, you know?
Oh, of course.
You gotta really think about,
I'm sorry.
Follow the formula.
Sure. That I guess
it's going through these scenes.
I will say what me and Eric were at the coffee shop earlier and we discussing this. It's a physical comedy. Like most of it is, he is the entity.
Sure.
And at the time we were pre-Carrie, we were pre-Farrelly Brothers at their peak. Mm-hmm. It is kind of unique that something like that existed in 89. Cause I don't know what other movie was trying this kind of humor.
I mean, physical comedy in the '80s was like Chevy Chase, which was kind of restrained.
I mean, how many different ways can you fall down the stairs?
Exactly. And you know, just bringing up Jim Carrey's interesting. I mean, this movie does have problematic moments, but
so does Ace Ventura 1.
What I was gonna say. Yeah. It's less problematic than both of those movies.
Sure,
that's fair. I will give it that. That's absolutely true. Yeah. Yes, my thing though, like similarly though, how many times can Chevy Chase fall downstairs differently? How many times can Yahoo Serious fall through things differently? Mm-hmm. He's fallen through things left and right in this movie.
If you're not laughing, you're in trouble, dude. Then you're just like, shit.
That dude, when the first, like, whatever the big first joke is, and it did not land for me in the slightest, I was like, oh, no. It's just going to be more of this. Yes. I was totally, I've known of Yahoo Serious.
Yes.
I've rightfully stayed away as if it was fucking rat poison. So I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. And I remember the joke because it's right at the start. He's giving himself a literal bowl cut. Yes. And you're like, oh, that's silly. And then he takes the bowl off and he's got a wacky haircut. And I was just dead inside. I was like, oh, nope, this ain't going to work.
Because that lets you know that he's in love with rock and roll. And this is where the kids come in. I think he had an MTV.
Roland Rock, excuse me.
He had an MTV something or other?
He did. Know. It was
really?
Oh, no.
There's like a primetime special about him or something like that.
Interesting. Well, we had like Aussie Fiva.
We did.
In the United States for a while, right?
Paul Hogan, of course.
Oh, my God. We couldn't walk down the street without a Crocodile Dundee.
There's a pretty good documentary about it called Not Quite Hollywood.
Oh, that's a great
movie. Yeah. About Ozploitation, the whole... It was going on for like 5-6 years. This, like, I feel like since 84, this was happening.
Right. They started selling Subarus on American streets. And before you know it, Yahoo Serious is it coming to your theater.
We let those prison islanders in, and that was it.
So we are told it is the spring of 1905 in Tasmania, which I will say another thing I will give this movie. Yes, good soundtrack. I love all of the beautiful, like, panoramic shots of Australia. Yes. What a gorgeous place for such a stupid person to live.
You know, I mean, right off the bat, like, I think this, I saw this 1,000 times as a kid, just like The Caller.
Did you own the VHS?
I don't know. Yeah, I think
it was
just on
Comedy Central. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it
I had
really?
The tape, though.
Oh, yeah, the tape.
Oh, how did, yeah. I, how did
oh,
I
well,
dodge
that's
it?
Your Columbia House.
That was, I think we only had 2 copies of that one.
Okay.
We went toward the trifecta on that boy.
But one of the first early jokes that I really resonated with me to this day was the father talking about, like, oh, you know, the balance of nature and this, that, and the other thing, and then goes out of his way to step on a frog to kill it.
That's a good joke.
And then later on, when we were looking at the grand vista of this valley, son, I want you to drown the whole wildlife in one go.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, there are things that I laughed about in this movie or laughed at. Literally none of them had anything to do with Yahoo Serious.
Yeah.
It was all shit like that.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, that makes sense.
Well, it's all like the comedy engine is zany. This kind of reminds me of if Monty Python wasn't smart. You know what I mean? Like, because Monty Python, like, they'd always do like historical jokes about, you know what I mean, the Spanish Inquisition,
sure,
you know what I mean, or the life of Christ and blah blah blah. And it's like, this is like, I don't know, Einstein. I'm not going to do a whole bunch of research. He's all right.
What?
He's got the big old hair. I got the big old hair.
You know, that's the thing. It's like, yes, there was not the Spanish Inquisition wasn't using a puffy chair to hurt people. Like, the premise is so stupid, like with Monty Python, that you either have to instantly be on its side or not.
Yes.
You know. I mean, it's just weird to me, like, with that Python stuff you're talking about, though, you know, like, you're doing the stuff with Christ. It's in the time of Christ. There's someone playing Jesus Christ. The Spanish Inquisition, period appropriate, all that stuff. What drives me crazy is that this movie, it's a world in which the real Albert Einstein does not exist.
Yes.
Yeah. It's this Tasmanian dude. Uh-huh. But then, like, Marie Curie, who was a real person, is arguably the same Marie Curie. And, like, my brain cannot justify this. It's so frustratingly stupid. Like, where is Oppie's Albert Einstein? He doesn't exist in this world, and I hate it. I fucking hate it.
So I mean, like, I guess Oppie would have to be like, what, like a fashion designer, like a shitty fashion designer?
I could get behind that.
Like, that's, I do understand that, because, like, Curry in this movie, she should be like, I don't know, like a mixologist or something that is like what she actually was, but is a little punkish,
That's weird. Funny, because once we get to the Science Academy Awards at the end of the movie, they do the alternate version with the Wright brothers. One of them is black and one of them is white, and it's kind of them talking with those, like, American accents. Yes. It's kind of funny.
Well, if you hung on to the premise a little bit more and expanded the world, I might be into this. But let's not, don't mix it up. This is a showcase for Yahoo Serious.
Yes. Sure.
And if you are not 100% always entertained by him, you are fucked for good with this movie.
You know, it's fair. I know most people hate this movie. It's okay to hate a movie.
It better be.
I guess my whole thing was just like, years and years of hearing about this movie, I just assumed he was maybe like a secret son of Einstein or just some other Einstein. And then movie's
dude,
unfolding,
he's pumping into some Tasmanian woman.
Just, and he's like the bastard son of Albert Einstein or something. And then I was like, oh no, this guy's just supposed to be the Albert Einstein. Fuck this.
Yeah, you don't get any Walter Matthau in
my kingdom for some Walter Matthau in this movie.
And I would presuppose that Papa Einstein here of Einstein Farm wouldn't let the real Albert Einstein on his farm, if you know what I mean. It's possible. The blunderbuss would come out.
What was he? What's that?
He's a what?
He's a what?
They got those over here?
I don't think so.
Okay. You know, I was nice to the Tasmanian devil, but you, sir.
This is the real devil. That gag is kind of so incredibly stupid. It flies all the way around the sun of stupidity back to being kind of funny.
There you go.
Like, this little person in a Tasmanian devil like puppet costume.
It looks critter in the Critters universe.
Yes, the Tasmanian devil looks like a critter. And
he does.
The bite mark and the shovel. Yes. I don't know. I was giggling.
You gotta give that guy a chance to go on the road with Albert Einstein, though.
Oh, like,
that
buddy.
Guy, you see him like going off into the valley or something at one point. I think he pops up at the end very briefly, and I was like,
father?
No, the Tasmanian devil. Okay. The father similarly just pops up here and there once the movie gets going. But I was like, no. Take that little monster on the road with you, and you got to hide him at your Fleabag motel.
Yeah, that's
something.
And then Preston wants to dissect it.
Yeah, exactly. Or fuck it. That guy's got problems. Preston, real scumbag.
Of the Perth guy. Prestons.
Yes. We are introduced to the family. They own an apple farm. Mm-hmm. This guy's just eating apples in every scene. Also very annoying.
Because we're also doing the play on Isaac Newton every chance we get. Because I guess, once Einstein came along, that guy was old hat.
Mm-hmm. But because he's literally under a tree and a thing fucking hits him on the head.
Yes.
He's got a little phone with him. And like, what is he supposed to be Newton as well?
Is that supposed
to be folded into this?
Newton's a celebrity in this because everyone's reading his book or whatever.
Later on, though. Which
is called Young Newton.
That's fun.
Young Fig Newton.
Yeah. But he does tell his mother, what goes up must come down, isn't it? And then she goes,
diddery-do.
Well, that's learning in Australia.
She just goes, because that dude, this poor woman, every scene she might as well just be going, that's all we're doing with this poor woman.
There's a lot of like, I don't want to have sex with my wife jokes going on.
Absolutely, they're absolutely, she is so fucking horny, and this poor Papa Einstein just cannot bring himself to sleep with his own wife.
I mean, that's why the Tasmanian devil keeps coming by.
She gets crittered every night.
Dude,
have you been fucking the critter? You talk to me right now.
It's like when Winona Ryder fucks Dracula werewolf in the Coppola movie.
Give me that Looney Tunes bully.
He like goes through the roof at some point. That's kind of fun.
Well, is this like where? So the dad like sort of says like, this is our little beer shed or whatever, and here's the flat beer we've been drinking. Yes. Let's forget the fact that fucking monks have been actually making real beer for hundreds of years. Let's pretend that doesn't exist.
Yeah,
also,
just, you gotta let go of some things. You know? What I do like about this in the shed with the beer stuff is like the dad has a holster for his Pilsner glass.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
And those are big Australian glasses, man. They don't make them any smaller than that.
That's right.
Another good gag that has nothing to do with the performance of Yahoo Serious is like, I don't know if it's before or after the dad explains the beer thing or whatever, but it's a going to bed scene. And he's like, good night, dad. Good night, mom. And there's a sheep in the house. And the sheep just goes, good night.
Yeah. I wanted more of that guy, too. Like, let's do it.
I thought the sheep was going to be talking repeatedly throughout the movie. Never again. It's a one-off joke. I was let down once again by this movie.
Oh, my God. And then once we finally, like, it's like, you know, the Einsteins we put on the map once we split, you know, put bubbles in beer or whatever. And he gets the idea to split the beer at him.
Uh-huh.
And he's in the shed tinkering at night or whatever. And it's like, where's that chisel?
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the idea.
Adam.
Right. Yeah. Yes. It is so stupid.
Yes, it is.
And then it explodes like in a little atomic reaction.
That is a very like Simpsons gag, like a car lightly bumps into a tree and explodes. Good explosion. Yeah. Good like mini mushroom cloud.
Yes.
The wind on the father where he's running out to see what the commotion is.
And now, Andrew, you had said that there's two blackface gags. I don't think this is a blackface gag.
This is
Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Sometimes Wile E. Coyote just gets covered in soot.
I know, but like
the last one is absolutely a blackface gag.
Yes, it is. But here's why the first one, though. I feel you're right enough, but it leans into it only because like it's kind of getting a little too close to the electric fence, only because like when you are, you know, doing makeup on a person for an explosion gag, you make it look a little more like a blast, which is to say like
the mark around the face with the makeup is uneven.
Sure.
This is all smoothly, yes. Tightly, right. Perfectly done as if it's a fucking grease paint thing.
Yeah.
And it's just, they did a bad job at not making it look like a blackface joke.
And also, if this is Law and Order, Jack McCoy would use the ending to be like, well, that was the point the whole damn time.
You wanted people thinking of it from the start, didn't you?
You so paid it off, didn't you?
Just had to bring it back around.
I don't get the joke here where he's like, so he's at night, like sort of thinking about the explosion, and he's all obsessed with splitting the beer at him and getting bubbles into beer. And that's like the thrust of the movie. And sure. He's like walking by a creek singing Hava Nagila. And my question is, where is the joke? Like, what is funny about that?
I actually forgot about that. I don't even remember it, but I guess the joke is Albert Einstein was actually Jewish in real life.
Yeah. And I guess that's sort of the only thing.
And he totally was very clearly not, I guess.
Because it's just this Australian walking by like, and I mean, not
and
saying.
The dad's like, what are you singing? What are you singing? Get off my property.
That's been outlawed in Australia.
Not saying there's not, you know, Jewish Australians, of course. Sure. But like, this character, such as it is not.
No.
Mm-hmm. And then to have him singing that song, I was just like, what? All right, let's just keep the movie going, I guess.
It's a very deep joke. I do like the idea that every time someone hums the song, just a bunch of guys with pitchforks come over the nearby hill. Just every time it starts.
Just trying to get him.
Yeah.
So he has, you know, figured out how to split the beer at him. The big explosion happens. I do, again, the dad, very funny, I think. Like, his son is, you know, just been in this massive explosion and he's got the beer and he takes the sip of it. And he's like, oh, good head too. It's like a great pour on top of everything else. So he's going to set off for the mainland because they are in, you know, the island part of Tasmania there. And he's got this little boat and he's just going to go off and I got to patent this, Dad, and then we're going to be rich. So that's the whole thing. He's got to get to the mainland, to the patent office.
And now, and again, soundtrack is a banger. This song is great.
Ice House is Great Southern Land. They play it 3 times in the movie.
Play three more, please.
It takes so much time off the clock. He is just going. He's just kind of going around Australia at this point. Like, it's like, I'm in the cold part. No, I'm not in the west. And then, of course, he's with the Aborigine for a moment.
Mm-hmm. That part is not great. No. I do like him walking through the desert, though. That's kind of like desert into snow. That's kind of a good location.
Yeah, it's showing the arduous journey. And this movie does multiple times kind of just fall into like music video land.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, man.
That, and like, especially towards the end when he's playing the energy out of the bomb.
Yeah.
It is like, that is a music video.
It's a music video slash it could also be like a cereal commercial. Like, I feel like Yahoo Serious would have cleaned up doing 90s cereal commercials.
And maybe that's where he belonged. You know, like Jim Varney started with commercials.
Yes. Right.
You know, local car dealerships. Start with that.
Yeah, like the Subaru dealership. Yes. Yahoo Serious here for the Subaru.
So, Eric, 1990 Outback.
You've seen at least one more of the 3 written and directed Yahoo Serious movies.
Yes, I saw
Reckless Kelly.
Reckless Kelly. I did not see the other one, I don't think.
Mr. Okay. Accident.
No, I did not see that. I saw Reckless Kelly. It's way worse. Way worse.
Is he like the same kind of like wacky haired persona? Like, he's, I was just thinking in terms of like Ernest.
Yeah. I mean, he's got long hair. I think he is kind of a wacky persona. It's not really blown up though. I think he wears it down in that one. Okay.
Well, that's what's kind of funny. At one part in this movie, when he's like going to pick up Marie Curie for like a pseudo date or something, he's got flowers and his hair is like actually combed and tied back. I was like, Yahoo Serious is actually a really handsome dude.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. That looks like a total jackass throughout this movie.
If memory serves, Reckless Kelly is like, you know, folk hero and he becomes like a celebrity and it's like commentary on like the American celebrity culture. And it's just sort of
also true of this.
Yeah, I guess so. And then it's also doing the whole him helping his people. And you got Hugo Weaving as a villain.
Ooh, step up.
Very Agent Smith-esque, too. And suit and tie. And
Mr. Serious.
Exactly.
I do have to give points to that because there's nobody I know.
I realized after it happened. So a couple days ago, remember, Eric, when you were like, what's better, this or chairman of the board? And I said, chairman of the board.
You're out of your fucking mind.
Your monocle fell into your suit.
I was shocked.
Here's what it is, though. Chris just helped me nail on the head. There's people in that movie that I know about. And like, for Australians, it's different, of course.
Chairman of the board, you got Courtney
Thorne. Mrs. Costanza.
You got Courtney Thorne-Smith brain poisoning. That's what that's about.
No, yeah, Larry Miller,
all those board guys that are recognizable.
I would argue, like some of these
Glenn Shadix.
I do like him. I mean, some of the people in here that are not. Didn't go on to anything like the father Pee-wee Wilson. I thought he would have had a career. Apparently not
with a name like that.
Well, right? he's a rock and roll guy.
Is he? Yeah. But he was. I thought he was funny in this.
No, he is. Like there's not funny people in this. It's just that like they're not given enough because it's a showcase. They're not given enough for me to be like, oh, I'm getting to know this person.
That's fair. You know, but the thing is, like with films like this in Australia, this is the start of building the film industry there.
Sure.
And it's not a tax credit haven yet.
Well, look, we'll talk about it later. But really, the fact that Wake and Fright wasn't the biggest hit in the history of Australia is frankly disgusting.
Well, that's a tough movie, man. Yeah.
But I don't care. That should have started a new Australian Hollywood.
I think Yahoo Serious could have been in a Mad Max movie for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. It's a Mad Max character. Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. It looks like one. It definitely smells like one. You know what
to
I mean?
Be clear, he would be being absolutely beaten to shit by the villain.
Oh, yeah.
Constantly picked on nonstop. But. Yes, he could be there.
It's just funny to me that like Australia had this like massive run, like from whatever, like mid to late 70s, thinking on Wake and Fright, which is definitely 70s.
Mad Max,
all that stuff. Just like really just skyrocketing all these like wild, crazy movies, all this shit that it's like Paul Hogan and Yahoo Serious are what really transferred over to America.
The Australian Film Institute, they closed the blinds. And they're like, it didn't work out. It's time for Project Replacement. We're going to replace all the American men with our own.
It's true.
Starting with you, little Russell Crowe.
Right?
Are you ready, little Russell Crowe?
I mean, yeah, like, look at a film like Romper Stomper. Like, yeah, kind of like, wow, I mean, this guy went on to Hollywood fame. It was absolutely. It's just a lot of these movies were just launching pads. Yes. And this was a failure to launch.
I don't know
Not the film, but...
I was spying inside of Australia Warner Brothers and... I heard something. I can't get it out of my head. They kept on talking about the Hemsworth protocol. I don't know what the fuck could possibly be?
I mean, Operation like Weapon Crikey X, right there.
It's like the Weapon X programs, like six of them in tubes.
Just shelves of Hemsworths.
That's the thing is like half of the city of Los Angeles is Australian or British.
Yes.
That's sure. it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's half of the city.
Because they give you style, I suppose, is the idea. Is like that, like Crocodile Dundee, the whole reason that thing crossed over is because like, oh man, he's got this hat and this vest. I could pretend to be this guy.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I could pretend to be that guy.
A lot of Americans buying Paul Hogan hats, yes, absolutely. Exactly.
And I think, you know, like, I have no idea about Australia. Never been, would love to.
Oh, yeah. Right. Tell your friends about the show.
But it's, I imagine at least the UK and stuff, like they don't treat theater as like, oh, that's gay. Don't do that,
yes.
son.
Yeah.
You know, it's and there's actual money for the arts. Like,
yep.
My school didn't have any. My school didn't have theater. My school had none of that.
Well, this movie was partially financed by Australia. Like, they love to do that shit out there.
Yep. I mean, it's amazing when you see stuff like that. Like dumb comedies like this, government funding. You see a lot of like the horror boom right now that's coming out of Ireland and has been for the past few years. All of that, for the most part, government financing. And I'm like, I just watched a woman split a guy in half with a hacksaw, and the government paid for part of it. Amazing.
We're not going to be financing these Yahoo Serious pictures. Can't be doing it.
We need more programs like that. Like, I think Germany's been closing those programs or whatever, but like Herzog, Rainer Werner Fassbinder, all these people came out through that assistance.
Going to go after the welfare queens and then the Yahoo Seriouses. Those young Yahoo Seriouses ain't going to get any of the money.
We will defund you, and I am Yahoo Serious about that.
Although, you know what, we are gonna have to put some money into this Bronson fella. I do believe that he's got the Code of Silence. I've heard of it. It sounds like a phenomenal picture.
Kinjite, real crazy movie there, Bar.
only Charles Bronson movies are funded by George H.W. Bush, which now is like we're in like Death Wish 4 territory.
Right.
We're going to get into the Death Wish business, Bar.
Hold on, Bar. Canon Films is on the line.
Yep.
They let me name one, Bar. It's The Evil That Men Do. Isn't that a snappy one?
Actually, Bar, if you look close, you'll see one of my CIA assassinations right on screen. I gave him a good idea.
Yeah. Oh, there his head goes. Looks like a special effect, doesn't it, Barr?
Yeah, I thought Gollum and Globus were asking me the time, so I said 10 to midnight. But it was naming a movie.
I just call myself Mr. Majestic when I'm going outside.
That is a fantastic title, Mr. President.
So we are on this train. This is where we are indeed introduced to Preston Preston of the Perth Prestons and a fake Marie Curie.
I do like the Preston Preston character of being like this dumb, blathering, fail son rich kid. You know?
Who just sees scams. I mean, it's prophetic in a way. I like him a little bit, but I kind of wish they played up his like disgustingness and humiliation. Like minute he meets Curie, she's like, oh, would you like to shout at me a little bit?
Yeah.
Would you like to kick me anywhere?
He tries to speak French to her, and he says, "I want to eat your suitcase," which is kind of funny. And he's like,
"Is that like I want to eat your box kind of thing?"
I think he tried to say box, he accidentally said suitcase. Yeah, exactly. No, and he's like mansplaining how like a gramophone works to her. Like, see the little grooves in the little vinyl disc,
the vibrations.
Yes, and
very louder. Or whatever. And then
she's like, I won a prize. Like, oh, that's cute. She's like, yeah, it's the Nobel Prize, which is kind of, it's fun there. You know, she won the Nobel Prize.
Dude, and like, this is my worst nightmare on any like transportation like this. You've got a comfortable groove going. You've been traveling for a while. You got your stuff on your bench seat, just how you like it. Mm-hmm. And then the train stops at the next station and a dust-covered monster gets on, and sure as shit, he's sitting in your car.
And I'm sorry, he must smell like shit, but
he has to.
You don't see him bathe on this trip.
Well, it's 1905. I think
nobody was bathing.
Everyone smelled like shit.
That's fair.
Every single one. Even Marie Curie's just the shit radiating off.
Yeah, you're buying like colognes, which are just supposed to douse you in a scent, right, so that you smell like nothing else but that.
People used to do what, like once a week, once a month.
Right?
You're brushing your teeth for company only.
I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal, he doesn't do either of those things, right?
Is he not?
Pardon me?
He doesn't bathe.
Oh, really?
Jake Gyllenhaal doesn't bathe?
There was a whole thing about it online.
Really?
Yeah. I missed this one.
You missed this?
Yeah, I missed this one.
Wow.
Is he one of those like weird purists? Like, oh, I like my scent.
My own body will regulate itself.
Congratulations, Jake. You smell like shit.
Yes.
I also don't come because I don't like that. I don't like my essence to leave.
This was a whole thing about like what celebrities don't shower. And someone like mentioned The Rock, and The Rock chimed in of how like, actually, brother, I shower 3 times a day.
He has to.
And he went through his whole routine about like he wakes up and he does like a cold shower or something.
Yeah, got to get the blood flowing. Got to cold plunge it.
And then he works out, and then like he takes a lukewarm one, and then at night when he gets home from work, whatever that is, I guess acting
or working out for his job. Exactly. Yeah. He could be doing that.
So before bed, apparently he takes another.
Yeah, you would have to if you work out as much as The Rock does. You have to bathe.
But now
like
I'm thinking about Gyllenhaal doing all that training for Roadhouse, and I'm like, you're not showering after that? Your balls have to have like their own fucking civilization down there.
Oh, it's Heinz vinegar down there.
Let me look it up just to be sure. I don't want to be talking out of
The Rock has got to be slippery. You know what I mean? Like that guy's got like no body hair whatsoever.
Yeah. Nothing.
He comes out of the shower. You try and catch him.
Yeah, okay, there's nothing to hold the scent with him, I guess.
Us magazine, Jake Gyllenhaal admits that he finds it unnecessary to shower often.
No, it's necessary.
It's absolutely
quite necessary.
I will say this. If I had the looks of a Jake Gyllenhaal and was getting laid like a Jake Gyllenhaal, I might also, and I wasn't hearing complaints, I might also be fine with it.
I just have to say, like, if you're not showering after them Roadhouse workouts and then like some lady's about to go downtown, she's getting a face full of something. And I can't imagine she wants to finish the adventure.
The pheromones, you know, you don't want to block them up too much.
That's true. Yeah. It's okay. Jake Gyllenhaal says, I do also think that there's a whole world of not bathing that is also really helpful for skin maintenance. We naturally clean ourselves. I do. But he does mention he does brush his teeth.
Well, that's good on Jake for that.
What a gift.
There are dudes out there, crazy protein, raw meat eating motherfuckers that do not even brush their teeth. They're just like, everything that was in the Bible is just what I'm going to be doing.
The raw meat guys are going to die within the next 5 years. Don't worry about them.
All we need is one healthy plague of a mad cow disease to infect our beef over here.
It's just, you don't know what you're doing to your body with that, my friend. And like, there is this whole world of like hair and skin maintenance that does have something to do with not cleansing that much that I have no idea about. No. I know it exists, but I do not know.
It sounds
about
like, honestly, Eric, you're saying this is Jake Gyllenhaal. It sounds like shit Aaron Rodgers should be saying.
Yeah, right.
Because it's the dumbest, bottom of the barrel, dipshit sounding stuff, which is where Aaron Rodgers is at all times.
Let's not lose the smelly fans here, guys. It's okay to like a shower or not like a shower.
It's okay to smell like shit. I guess.
That's fine.
If just 100%. Know that when you walk away from people who don't smell like shit, they all in their circle go, "That dude smelled like shit." And if you don't care about that, I guess that's fine, but that's pretty embarrassing.
Listen, my shit is naturally cleaning my body right now. It's natural.
But Curie is obviously immediately drawn to Yahoo Serious.
Oh, yeah, intellectually and sexually.
Exactly, young Einstein himself, because he's a tall, skinny dude. It's like, hey, man, that shit's always in fashion.
So we do get to, the big city. And this is, I was doing so much Shazamming here, but as he gets into town, this is Big Pig's Hungry Town.
Nice.
Kind of another great song here. And this is Einstein in the Big City, goes directly to that patent office.
What was it?
Big Pig
is the band. And the song Town? Is Hungry Town.
That, both those things sound like it's a Mad Max words.
You know? Yeah. Oh, we got to get the guzzling to Hungry Town.
Yeah. Bring Big Pig with you to Hungry Town.
Send Big Pig to deal with him.
Exactly.
And then they just cut to a shot of the most terrifying 6-foot motherfucker you've ever seen. Yeah. I'm Big Pig.
Are you sure that's not who Hemsworth is playing in this new one?
Seriously.
Is he Big Pig? Big Pig.
He looks fucking crazy in that movie. That weird nose. Fake nose going on.
Yeah. I'm excited to see him do something else.
Well, yeah. I'm excited to see him do something, stretch out the natural accent. You know, obviously, he's not talking in his natural voice, which is actually good because I think he could probably do a fun voice in his accent, if that makes sense.
Yeah, right.
As opposed to like just being...
that flat, it doesn't work. You just don't sound like a person.
No, exactly. And then people talk about it.
No, I mean, because that was when he came out at the Oscars with Anya Taylor-Joy, which also, did you guys notice during that Oscar ceremony, when people were coming out clearly paired up because they have projects coming out, like Furiosa, David Alan Grier, as the announcer, wasn't given any lines to say, like, from the new Furiosa. Yeah, it was just like, please welcome Chris Hemsworth and Anya Taylor-Joy. And I was like, from Furiosa. It wasn't happening. It happened multiple times. Very weird. But I was thinking about that because he's just talking like Chris Hemsworth. Of course, it's just an award ceremony. Yeah. He's talking like himself. Yeah. And I was like, fucking Furiosa is going to be awesome because he's just going to talk with his accent.
Yes.
And there's one less thing my ears have to worry about with that movie.
I do think also being in a George Miller movie is like being knighted in Australia.
Oh, sure. You
pass into a special area there.
What? Speaking of George Miller, by the way, one of the guys in the insane asylum later in the movie was the writer of the first Happy Feet movie.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah.
No wonder he was in this sane asylum.
I got this crazy bits about penguins. Lock they're dancing. Lock it's going to be funny.
Yeah, lock him up.
Throw away the key. Yeah. He keeps on saying he has happy feet. I don't know what that is.
But he goes to the patent office and they're like, we can't patent a formula. Get out of here. But he leaves the formula, which is a very foolish idea.
Yeah, because he's just a big, dumb idiot.
What should we do, sir? Patent your head?
Oh, yeah, because he says, but it's all in my head. Uh-huh. What would you like us to do?
Make an invention. Do it.
Then he goes, just a real question, because I've never been to a patent office.
Oh, really?
Surprisingly,
I've
been
like 15 times.
Really? You're like, oh, you've never been? But like, is it always this packed like a post office on a Saturday morning?
I don't think so
many people trying to patent like inventions and shit.
Well,
that day.
Well, again, if you want to talk about a business, the internet ruined.
It's true. Maybe it's just a place for inventors to hobnob. Oh, go down to the patent office. Yeah.
It used to be like a cornerstone of the social worth of a town.
Exactly.
Albert Einstein and all the buddies were just like, I might think of something. I'll just hang out at hang out at the patent office. If I think of something, I can just put it right there.
Chew the fat with the local constable, smoke a cigar. I got a great. Yeah, I just invented something. Give me something. I'll be right back.
They didn't. There was no telly yet.
So. You know what? My tree buddy is here. I'm going to go hang out with my tree buddy in the forest, and he's going to tell me about how beautiful structures they are.
Oh, I thought you meant a weed dealer.
James Urbaniak, goddammit.
Okay, yes. He goes to a flop house.
On Lonely Street, which is another funny visual gag that has nothing to do with the acting prowess of Yahoo Serious.
Run saxophone the playing.
Exactly. He's a better filmmaker than an actor.
That's what I was saying. Exactly. You're right.
I agree.
He's got good animal wranglers. A lot of live animals on this thing.
They were all harmed in the production.
And you didn't have to wrangle shit, dude. They just couldn't get him out of the shot. Like, all right, kangaroo, I guess you just hang out here. Exactly. We'll roll film.
Runs afoul of some prozzies, doesn't he?
Oh, he certainly does. One
of
which
he wound up going on to marry was the producer of this film, Lulu Pincus.
Oh, is that right?
And the blonde, I think she's the blonde prostitute.
Is she also in Mad Max?
No, not that I know.
Lulu Pincus?
Lulu Pincus should be in Mad Max.
Oh, we got to get Lulu Pincus to Cigarette City.
Big Pig's got to rescue her.
Lady Lulu.
Sorry, Big Pig, but Lady Lulu's in another Kessel.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. We were going to bring out the guitar guy, but we really ran out of gas. It's actually kind of quite useless in this world to be wasting gasoline on so many flamethrowers. If we're so worried about gasoline, you see, why would we need flamethrowers for him?
It doesn't make it less important to call it guzzling. It's still a problem.
Man, I love it when they say guzzling.
It's so great. It just tickles your ear just right, doesn't it?
It does.
So these sex workers come up here, and I guess Yahoo's bride-to-be there is like, oh, what's that in your pocket, yes, big boy? And a really dumbass, it's a compass. And then after he pulls out this huge compass, there's a boing sound effect in there. I was like, is it a boner or is it a compass? You can't have both.
No. I've sometimes followed mine, but not in like a mapping way. No.
Yeah,
you more like a divining rod, if you know what I mean.
Yes, definitely. You walk with your boner until it senses moisture. It starts to point down towards it, and you just leap.
These are things that farmers have known for years.
Absolutely.
Decades. So Preston is at some sort of like city social, I think they call it the Aristocrats Club. Mm-hmm. And he brings Marie Curie here, and he's trying his best.
And this is when he kind of, does he reveal that he stole it, or?
Well, he's like, yeah, the poor bugger thought that he could patent a formula, blah, 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 which I have right here. And it like, it cuts immediately to him going to this Bavarian beer hall, yes, and showing these dudes like, hey, this piece of paper that says E equals MC squared. This is how we'll carbonate your beer. That's a joke.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, you know, young Einstein, he gets a job at the patent office. Yes. At one point, Preston takes him in under Marie Curie's.
Yes, okay, give him a job, help him out.
Yes. Yeah. He's eventually fired from that job because he's not good at math or whatever, like the real Einstein, right? Remember what he said to Oppie? Like the...
Like maths were never my thing.
Right. Like, yeah. The one thing we share in common is a disdain for mathematics
Well, he also, Albert Einstein working at a patent clerk office is also very famous in Ghostbusters, which is where I think Mr. Sirius did most of his research.
Einstein was a patent clerk.
Yeah. Do you have any idea what a patent clerk earns?
So he gets let go from that job. We do have, you know, little interludes here that of him inventing surfing.
Yes, of course.
Chiseling the wood.
Him making the surf. Hey. Again, this was another, I'm sorry.
Because it's fun and outrageous and wackadoo rock and roll, man.
Exactly.
Yahoo, what can you do? We'll make the character do what you could surf. Okay, he's going to invent surfing. Yes. How about that? You know what? And he's just going to invent all kinds of wacky shit.
But yeah, Marie Curie is like instantly wet for this dude because he's surfing. They're on the beach.
He's so dusty.
Surfing. He invents rock and roll through inventing the electric violin.
That's one of the first things. I mean, we're going all over the fucking place here.
It's totally fine.
I'm getting lost in my notes in a movie I can barely remember, so bear with me.
This movie's short. It's fine. We're gonna get through
and again
it.
No engine, so like no engine. It keeps on happening.
He invents this electric violin or whatever, and he does get Jazzy Jeffed out of the patent office at that point, and I was like, but why?
Yeah, that's
like
an invention.
What a wild thing. Well, that this
you're
just
not
made.
Ready for rock and roll. You're not ready for it.
He's okay, that's close. But of course patent clerks can I don't know if you guys know the law, but they can say no to things that are annoying.
Oh, I see.
If they see something that sounds or looks annoying, they're like, you know what? No, that's not going to happen.
It's the jazzy Jeffing of it all, yeah. Chris Cabin, that I find egregious.
But they let the clapper through?
They did.
That's true. Remember that guy should have been slapped in the face. Oh, absolutely. My God.
I hear clapping in the songs, you know? I like clapping. Yes.
And then here he's going to go try to talk to Marie at the university.
Right.
I think there's some good jokes here where he's going to go into the Sydney University. And there's a gag with this guy coming in with on a sheep farming scholarship. And he's got all these sheep with him. Mm.
I do like there's the sign that says no musical instruments on the thing.
But I like that, like the institution of high learning in Australia, it's like, yeah, the courses are in like sheep farming.
Yes.
We do.
I like they're having fun at their own expense a bit.
Foster Brewery repairmen. Right. You know? Easy things.
He goes in, we got another fun song of him like doing all of his equations.
Just interrupting this professor's lecture and erasing this dude's shit. Like this huge chalkboard full of calculations just to write E equals MC squared.
That scene goes on for longer.
Yeah.
I mean, this happens a lot in this movie, but that one I was like kept on checking. I was like, how is this? Is the erasing supposed to be part of the joke? The fact that he's erasing?
It takes so long to erase that chalkboard.
This is like another one of the like little music moment. Yeah. You're watching something that could
have. Is this where the Paul Kelly song is?
Possibly.
This is right around here as you get the Saints, the music goes round my head.
Okay, where he sort of meets up. This is where he meets up with her. Like after something, and he's got flowers and shit.
He's happy. He's walking up that hill.
He dances with Hare Krishnas, where I was like,
okay.
All right. Aren't they weird looking?
He's a free spirit. You guys are just so chained to the world.
Just to end the university bit, on the way out, he's talking to Marie Curie, and he's like, your professor is so wrong.
Right.
He's so wrong. But on the way out also is an Asian man who says, so wrong.
Yes.
And as opposed to.
By the way, so Steve, hold on to your hat.
What's
don't
that?
Let your hat fall off. Right, your head.
Hold on.
That Asian student played by a white guy.
What?
If you can even believe
I
it.
Can't
dude,
even
if you
believe.
Can even fucking believe that.
Oh. Does he have the Jerry Lewis teeth too? I forget.
I don't think so, but
the outfit
that
is
voice
the outfit.
Might as well. Okay. Might as well.
All right. Oh boy,
that was a rough one. Yeah, I forgot about that.
I did forget about that.
We already talked about it sort of, but yeah, their date is he makes the surfboard and she's like just getting wet on the beach watching him hang 10.
Yes. Hang brain, really. Mm-hmm.
I do believe that, by the way. Everything I've seen of him makes me believe he probably has a pretty big dick.
Yeah, sure.
You don't go around in this world like that.
Yahoo
unless
Sirius
you have a big dick.
And Albert Einstein, the real guy, too, had a fucking hammer.
Yeah.
You know?
I believe that.
That's why it was such. It's that, and you know, the real Einstein is to blame for this movie if you don't like this movie, because he had those posters on college dorms.
It's true.
Well, if it's to be believed, Yahoo Sirius saw a dude with a t-shirt of the Albert Einstein with the tongue out and is like, that's the movie. Like,
really?
That's amazing.
Because it's like, oh, wow,
is the movie.
Einstein's a lot more fun than you thought he was.
Wow, he's a real rock and roller, just like me.
See, I mean, it was already in the cultural zeitgeist. He just tapped into
it. Can you imagine being able to pitch movies in 1986 and 87? You could have just been like, yeah, you see that Budweiser thing with the big tits? Movie. Plus hell guns. Yeah. Put guns with the tits.
This
sure.
is a
movie.
Great point. Like, why didn't Spuds McKenzie get a movie?
He should have.
Insanity.
He had Air. I guess because it's alcohol.
Yeah, he's an alcohol dog.
Air Bud was for kids. And
but
maybe
the Spuds McKenzie kind of dogs did show up in movies around
did.
That time.
Was Frankenweenie or Spuds McKenzie, or was he not?
Oh, yeah.
He was kind of the breed, but I don't know if he was the actual
that's
dog.
How he died was an alcohol overdose, and that's why they brought him back to life.
That's right. Yeah.
That was a popular breed at the time for cinema.
Yes, whatever.
Because they were funny looking.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
So you could kind of use that as a gag, because I think wasn't the, or no, maybe that was more of like a pity kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Little Rascals dog, I thought was also McKenzie, but maybe some sort of like mixed breed dog or something.
This one was popular until the Frasier dog took over American.
The Jack Russell Terrier ruled supreme in the entertainment.
The mask, you know.
Doing
such a short, kind of nothing movie. We fill that time talking about dog breeds and Jake Gyllenhaal's shower habits. Uh-huh. And we're gonna get there with this episode, folks.
Absolutely,
it's gonna be an episode.
It will.
He does write his parents back home a couple times, and there is a gag here again. The dad might be the best performance of the movie.
Mom's
all excited about like, oh, he's met a girl and he's whatever the fuck, and the dad's all excited. And when you cut to the shot of the dad being like, oh, that's great or whatever, he's taking a shit in like an outhouse that is collapsing around him as he's shitting. Like you can see through this thing. Parts of like the boards have fallen off of it.
That's a liberated man right there. You being able to, you live in that area. Why bother? Why have the toilet right out there? Don't even put a thing around it unless it gets smoked.
I guess that's the thing, is you must be nose blind to everything in the 1900s. Just because you're shitting outside. Like, I don't know if I could make it. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
really? You've been camping before.
Sure. Yeah. But the 3 or 5 days, I'm ready for a fucking turlet.
Well, just imagine living your whole life like that, right? That's something.
Huh? You either let it blend into the background.
Yes.
Or you go crazy. Yeah. It's one of the two options.
I guess, like, if it's the only thing you've ever known, you don't know that it's different. Yeah.
You start feeling like Jake Gyllenhaal. Your body starts cleaning itself somehow.
There is just no excuse for that. I am sorry, Jake Gyllenhaal. Get in the fucking tub, man. Like, that is so dumb.
Walk into a river once in a while. At least do that. Or go out in the rain.
Yeah, please stand out in the rain at
wake
least.
Up, yeah. Donnie. Wake up, Donnie. You smell like shit. In 21 days, you're literally no one will talk to you.
Yes, and instead of a rabbit, it's a Charmin bear, one of those toilet paper bears.
But he still has metallic eyeballs and fucked up teeth.
Yes.
No, they don't want you to know this. The ass cleans itself.
Why are you wearing that stupid rabbit suit?
Why do you smell like shit?
I'm voting for Arm & Hammer deodorant.
Don't you want to do something nice for Jenna Malone?
I think we got to do a Donnie Darko.
Oh, that's a WLM.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, totally.
I will not have this at the table. And by that, I mean, you smell like shit.
I'm starting to doubt your commitment to cleaning yourself properly.
What's this on the fridge? Dukaka 88?
How exactly do you wash a butt?
Kitty shit dungeon. It's all pictures of kids' shit.
Yeah. That's it. I'm not even sure if this is illegal.
Yeah.
It's just gross. Uh-huh. Good old grandma tub, dude. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
But so right around here is when, like, basically, I think Marie Curie is like, oh, you're a piece of shit because you stole young Einstein's formula. And you know how we're going to solve this? We're going to throw young Einstein in the loony bin. Mm-hmm. Because that's kind of like this. This movie is, to your point, it's a series of sketches like, it's young Einstein around in Australia proper. Now it's the loony bin segment. And then and the loony bin segment takes quite some time. Is the nurse Ratchet a dude in drag?
It absolutely is, man.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Yep.
Because I couldn't tell.
Definitely a dude in drag here. Again, kind of like a weird John Waters nightmare sort of character. Yes.
Wacky, isn't it, folks?
It is.
I do like the guy, like when he meets, like as he's being carted into the booby hatch there, like he's getting introduced to all the other guys, and it's like they're doing kind of like a jail, what are you in for sort of thing. And the one guy is like, my name's Brian Esperin. I got busted for drugs.
That's the thing, is like they are all sort of like quasi scientists, and that's where you put people that don't fit into society. You just throw them in the asylum.
Exactly.
It just reminded me very much. It's Poor Things is just a gender swapped young Einstein. Really,
when you really think about it,
I pointed this out on Letterboxd because I do think this movie looks good. I think it's got great production design. I like the costumes.
There's money,
even though there's anachronistic things. It all kind of fits the same mold.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Poor Things won Oscars for doing this production style design.
So you're saying Yahoo Serious, snubbed by the Academy.
I am saying that.
Yahoo Serious, Yorgos Yelanthopoulos.
Oh,
it's just got a chalkboard here.
It's an anagram.
Yeah, it's like the shot in Line of Fire where John Malkovich is putting on all the makeup.
No one knew it. What if Yorgos Lanthimos was Yahoo Serious the whole time?
Yes. Here's what it is. It's like, it didn't happen this time, but whenever Yorgos does win an Academy Award, like for directing, sure, right? The dude that we think we know as Yorgos Lanthimos, like the camera goes to him at the Academy Awards broadcast, and that dude doesn't get up. And then suddenly Yahoo Serious walks down the aisle and he's like, I was Yorgos Lanthimos the whole time. This is just some fucking Australian friend of mine. He's not even a director.
And he's not even Greek.
And Emma Stone's just weeping like, I didn't even know.
Take a bow, William. You've been a great Yorgos.
He tips his hat and walks out of the auditorium.
Man,
Yorgos just goes up there and says, crikey. Oh, shit.
I would love that. We are due for some type of crazy shit on this planet, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess weird. It's all crazy, but like,
I was gonna say,
just some fun, like, innocently crazy.
We are overdue
for fun crazy. That's exactly right. Yeah. The dangerous crazy, I'm quite tired of it, but the fun crazy, let's bring that back.
That'd be nice.
But yeah, and like the insane asylum part's kind of fun. Like he's in the mad scientist wing, which is And like these guys just feel like the young ones the entire time. You know,
sort of
what I mean?
Look like some of them too.
Yes, exactly.
It's the dude who plays Keenly, whatever that guy is. That's the guy that wrote Happy Feet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nice,
The thing I kept on thinking about, because it came out the same year as this, is Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure does something much smarter, and it's that it's funny that Napoleon likes ice cream.
Yes,
that's funny. Like, doing this, like, if Curry, like, you get Marie Curie, and she just fucking, she cannot get enough of beach volleyball. Like, just cannot fucking, nothing but it. But, like, because we have the setting, it's what, like, 1905?
05, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, that kind of was my problem. It is pretty, Eric. I gotta give you that.
It's gorgeous.
It is very nice to look at.
Marie Curie finds out what's going on here. She gives Preston the business at the social club.
Yes.
Which is kind of nice. I love a good, we actually just talked about this with Indecent Proposal too. Like, someone making a scene at a snooty upper crust private, whatever you do, you know,
does she do a drink in the face or not so much? I forget.
Probably
not.
I don't think I would remember it.
Yeah, I do love a good drink in the face.
Yes, do they do the Beverly Hills Cop thing where he pretends that he gave the villain a VD?
I don't believe so.
That is a great gag that Axel Foley pulls, though.
Oh, my God.
I must make you a member.
We do, because you have to do it, man. You absolutely, the movie wasn't getting released if you didn't do this. All the guys in the asylum are sort of showering.
Yes.
And one dude just goes, whoops, drop the soap. And the whole room of dudes is like, whoa! And looks, and I don't think this is funny, but I do think there is a funny delivery of when they all look, someone just quietly goes, careful.
Yeah.
It's a funny delivery wrapped inside a joke I am tired of seeing in things.
You're tired of seeing it. You got to give some of this stuff a little leeway since 1988.
Exactly.
But, you know,
we were right in the middle of getting pile-drived by this fucking joke. Yeah. It was in every movie.
It was.
For a long time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Marie goes to the asylum pretending to be Einstein's father.
First she goes regular style, and the guy's just like, well, you know, Einstein's bathing. You're better off not waiting. He's a notoriously long bather.
Yeah, that's humorous. And then it's like, immediate family only. So then she comes back
as
with
father.
A silly beard as the father.
And this is just like an SNL sketch or something. This really terribly fake beard. She gets let in. I do like the gag. Like, she gets into the where they're being held or whatever, and she goes up to Einstein, and they start making out, and the other dudes are like, wow, close family.
Yeah.
Man, see, we're laughing, guys. We're having a good time.
My whole thing, though, was like, what year was Ferris Bueller? Because it's very close to That's How It Is in that family.
Yeah, it is, actually.
Someone tells me Yahoo saw that movie.
Do you have a kiss for daddy?
So the cat pie segment, I guess, happens around here.
Yeah, it's happening. We're setting it up for some reason.
We're putting the dough on top of the kittens and in this pie.
Is this?
This is just what, Australian food.
Okay, yeah. That's what I was curious, because like, it's not like he's an inmate. He's actually the chef.
Yeah,
he's the chef. And I guess the idea is like, oh, that you get the worst kind of food in an asylum.
It's like a monstrous institution down to the food they're making.
On top of though, I will say, because there's a place downtown. Actually, I don't know if it's still around. Mm. It was on like right at the border of like the Bowery, Lower East Side area. It was an Australian like meat pie place.
Yes.
And you could go and get like these little personal meat pies.
They're great.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely awesome.
There's one near me.
They're
really, really,
really
good.
Did you test yours for cat meat?
I did not. I took the lady's word that it was beef.
I was hoping it was cat.
A little suspicious.
Never had a savory pie that I liked. So. Mm.
Not like a chicken pot pie fan?
No, I'm not.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I don't even. Yeah, I kind of don't even fuck with quiche that much. I will eat it. I will eat it.
There's a gun to your head. All right, your in-laws maybe? Your in-laws making a lot of quiche? Or?
Sometimes my wife makes it.
Well, see, I bet it's delicious.
It is delicious. Actually, that's the one I love.
You're welcome.
The rest of the savory pies, get out of here.
See, that's the thing. Savory pie, A-okay. Sweet pie, no thank
you. Well, that's you're the son of the devil, dude. I don't know what's going on with that.
Out of control with that opinion. No, that is insane.
It's the hottest steak.
I like sweet pies. I'm a fan of. Mm. Folks, it's Young Einstein's. Okay, we're going to talk about pie now. I love sweet pie. Yeah. I like it better than cake. I would rather have a piece of pumpkin pie, apple pie, any kind of pie
I'm there with you.
Cake with the frosting and shit. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, my God. What are we talking? I'm talking shit about cake all of a sudden?
Here's my thing with cake. My problem with
great
cake.
Great band, great food.
My
move on.
Great band, absolutely. My wife's drawn up the divorce papers listening to this right now. But my problem with cake in one way, and I do like cake. I'm a cake guy also. But when the cake, like the frosting is so sugary that when you chew it, you can feel the crystalline sugar. Yeah.
That's a poorly made cake.
I think also,
but that's like grocery store cake. Yes, I need like a buttercream, cream cheese.
Really
kind of
well made cake, and not often. And the thing is, like, I worked at an office. I worked at office jobs for like 15 years.
Oh, here we go. I know where this is going.
So there's maybe.
Okay. But it was like every week it's someone's goddamn fucking birthday. Yeah.
It's like Elaine Bennis.
And if you don't have the piece of cake, people actually think you're an asshole.
Yep.
And they're like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And it's like, geez, man, wow. You know, I'm after this job, I'm going to drink like a 30 rack of beer. You're adding so many calories by giving me this piece of cake on top of everything else that I'm doing to damage my body. I don't want the cake, but you have to have the cake.
Yep. I have been I have somehow evaded this. I've had a couple office jobs and I have somehow gotten through with ever having to do this. Cupcakes occasionally.
Yeah.
Occasionally I've gotten a cupcake thrown at me.
Were you lacing those cupcakes, dude?
Oh, no. I'm not making
them. Oh, I see.
Were you lacing them with your man sauce? Is that what you did?
I knew it was coming.
It was coming.
Better late than never.
It was coming.
What are you saying, Steve?
Oh, no. My job, there's not a lot of birthday things. Like, there'll be occasionally like a bake-off thing because that's fun, you know what I mean, for the whole company, and I usually avoid it.
Do you like the British Bake-Off?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, no, there you go.
Yeah, that's a great show. Oh, because that's a great show.
That's why they do it. It's like, the show, the bake-off.
Oh, is that all that? I do not miss any of that. Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that whatever I'm eating during the day, it's just a sandwich I made for myself at home.
Yes. I hate forced food. Yeah. Stop it.
The guy, by the way, just to get back to the cat pie thing really quickly, the dude making it is Roger Ward, who played Fifi in Mad Max.
Of course.
His partner.
Of course.
Yeah. The big dude.
Who probably eat at least one cat pie in his life.
Just once. Absolutely. By accident. But then he was like, wasn't so bad.
Well, yeah, I mean, back when it was a prison planet, I don't give you any shit for whatever you had to eat.
There's a great, very interesting dub here. I don't know if anyone else noticed it.
Oh, no.
So basically,
don't fool with me, says Albert Einstein.
No, because Maria Curie is like, I'm here to rescue, blah, blah, blah. Do you know that, what do you call it there? Preston is going to split the beer at him. He's stealing your formula and all this stuff. Like, yeah, but what can I do? I'm just stuck here. And she's at this point sick of his inactivity.
Right.
Yeah.
So she pulls her beard down and says, Well, if no one, I think the line is something like, if no one, if you're not going to stop him, then, and she says very clearly, I will, but the dub is
who?
Then who will?
Oh.
Because basically I think, and I was reading this morning, they reshot the whole ending of this. The original ending just didn't work. So in this ending, she just goes home and like kind of like knits and is like, oh, nobody loves me. I'm imagining in the original ending, she's probably more active.
Yeah,
probably. And they kind of because she very clearly says, then I will. Like, you know what I mean? And then that doesn't go anywhere. So it's like, then who will? I'm just a woman.
That's interesting. I'm curious to see these other cuts. Let's get treat it like Blade
the
Runner.
The Marie Curie cut, we're going to call that?
Yes. Yeah. Give me a Blu-ray with five different versions of Young Einstein on it.
The final cut.
If you know what, dude? If somebody gave that to me, I'd give it right to you.
Thank you. I would love that.
Dude, I don't want this, but I know exactly who will.
This doesn't exist on Blu-ray or high def at all. It's standard.
Is that right?
Def. Yeah, you can only rent it standard def.
Oh, well, that's weird. I didn't even notice.
The transfer looks pretty good.
It only went to DVD.
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, that's true. You figure because this is Warner Brothers, it would have been part of that like Warner's
archive thing.
Yeah, that archive.
I guess
line.
I should check that out, but I couldn't find evidence on it in my first search. So,
All right.
Someone reach out to me. Get me a high def transfer of this.
So it's like, oh, how are we going to get out of here? Cut to like this, the right stuff esque him and the boys walking down the hallway.
Yeah.
At some point in this asylum, he's managed to fix the electronic violin, and now it's a guitar, and we're like jamming to overload the circuits.
It's dumb.
Feeling like a little kid wrote this. Now we're going to play the guitar, and it's going to overload the electricity.
And we play Hot Potato with the cat pie.
Yes.
Because the pie is going in the oven. It starts to get hot. You hear the meows. He pulls it out, and he throws it around the room, and the people are catching it, and it's like,
Curry gets it at some point.
Yeah.
She's brings it outside.
It's so, you know, it's fun and hijinks. We're running around.
There is a good gag here.
We're escaping.
As they're escaping, I want to point out a good visual gag because whatever I can fucking grasp onto with this movie. There's a part where one of the dudes is running down the hallway with an axe. And they get up to a in case of emergency break, and he uses the glass to break it, and then the dude pulls out another axe. That's that's very funny to me. I like
that. There you go. You found some.
The kittens are okay at the end of the chase.
They were eaten by craft services later, though, actually. But in the movie, they're fine.
Yeah, they rip off the pie crust, and all the kittens kind of start running out.
Right. So he runs back, and he's like, Marie, I escaped. And it's a really great, like, she has gone back to France and left nothing but this tiny little croissant like on the pillow or whatever. That's also kind of great.
And then the prostitute's like, Albert, where have you been? It's like, insane asylum or whatever. And then there's a letter that she writes and it's like a parody of Sir Isaac Newton's last letter or something.
Is that right?
That's why it sounds so stupid.
Oh, that's where I know that from.
Yes,
oh, okay.
Exactly. Chris is a big fan reading the correspondence of Sir Isaac Newton.
His letters, my God.
On the back of the letter, Paris, France.
That's a funny gag where it's like the dude's reading it, like the hotel manager or whatever, and it's like, but oh my God, where is she? They didn't leave her an address as to where to find her. And everybody's like distraught over it. And then he's like, oh wait, no, here's the address on the back of the envelope. It's right here.
And this is when he gets into a little steamship. And I'm like, I don't think I can take another fucking traveling montage. I'm just like, I don't know, folks. I'm going to start tapping out soon.
I'm like, dude, give me him at sea. Throw another fucking banger song on. Let me enjoy my afternoon watching Young Einstein.
This is
and
funny
then
too,
Mark Ruffalo's like, Einstein, I love you.
It is kind of a funny gag of him in a tiny little motorboat, and he's going to go all the way from Australia to Paris. I think that's very funny.
And then we're, you know, the Science Academy Awards are starting. We're kind of at the end of the movie already.
Yeah.
And he goes.
Chuck Darwin is hosting.
Right. We're cutting in before we actually get to those events. Right around here, we get the Wright Brothers gag.
Right, it's one dude's a black gentleman is the idea. Yes.
You have a Sigmund Freud and his mother is there. Uh-huh. And she's giving him
Sigmund,
shit.
Don't pick your nose.
Yeah. So it's like that's,
smacking him. And
so that's how that works.
That's how it happens.
You know, that's how he got the idea to do it.
They have young.
Do you get it?
They have Young. He's wearing all red.
Yeah.
Like a book I wrote.
Hi.
Einstein's now in France, and he's on one of those giant bicycles with the big wheel.
Oh, you don't like the old-time bikes, huh?
That's a great Simpsons gag. I love it so kicking much. Him in the face.
What are other good Simpsons gags?
Let's do that, sure.
Let's go through 30 years of good gags on the Simpsons. Okay, the
Yahoo Film Festival.
Yeah, oh, yes. Yeah,
with the closed theater.
I know what those were. I know those. I recognize those words, but that makes no sense.
I also love it, that bit with the... there's a picture of Castro, a slide of Castro. It's like Plan B. And he's like, oh, that shouldn't be in there. And he swallows
it. Oh, yeah. Plan B. But so he goes to the curious state is the idea.
And now that, you know, her father's very dismissive of her accomplishments. And
but she's a woman.
She needs a man, is what he's saying over and over again.
So Albert kicks down the door and all that. And it's just like, we got to get to the Science Academy Awards.
The father is disgusted with the appearance of Young.
Of course he is.
Here. He's ready to throw right up.
He starts talking with some authority here. You know, like, couldn't help but notice you got a hot air balloon and, you know, like
borrow
borrow it to get to the thing and blah, blah, blah. It's, you know, the state of the future of the world's depending
Marie,
on it.
Marie, we have to get there. George Washington Carver is going to show off his jelly collection.
Which Police Academy movie has the air balloon ending?
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's six.
Yeah, it might be. But I was saying that air balloons were in the atmosphere.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
That's where they go.
Literally and figuratively.
Yes.
The 80s. We did love hot air balloons in the 80s. Definitely. We did indeed.
I do like the dad. We cut back to.
It's
got to
be four, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say Citizens on Patrol, right?
Yes.
Yeah. The dad and mom are like sitting on the porch back in, Tasmania or whatever. And the dad gets up to turn the radio on and he goes, how about a little afternoon entertainment, mother? To which this woman replies, bit early in the day for that, father. Oh, yeah. And then this dude choking back so vomit is just like, I was referring to the wireless.
Yeah, exactly.
Why would I want to fuck you?
They put on the Science Academy Awards on the radio there. And
love that the show's broadcast all over the world like that.
Yes, it's amazing. And Charles Darwin is introduced. He's like the greatest scientist in the world. You know, it's Charles Darwin. And he comes out.
The guy playing Darwin looks like fucking Garth Hudson from the band Nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, just like bald on top, big Santa beard.
Love that.
It was a good look for a scientist and a musician.
Borderline Amish, always good look.
Yes. And it's like, oh, there's a young man here all the way from Australia,
right? Yeah,
it's like the parents like, oh, it couldn't be,
right?
And it isn't. It's Preston
yes
comes out and he's got this device,
the world's largest beer keg, we call it, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's
an atomic bomb.
Yes.
The movie never quite merges that idea successfully. You know what I mean? Like, they are doing some stuff about, like, the Oppie and Einstein, like the atmosphere on fire stuff. Because she's like, your invention could destroy the world and you want to talk about stuff, right?
Yeah,
you know, they kind of do that. And then when it just gets there and it's a big keg and it's also a bomb and you're like, all right.
Matt Damon just comes out and goes, near zero.
There's going to be a fun explosion, everybody, so calm down.
So they get to the awards ceremony and Albert yells out, like, Mr. Darwin, like, Mr. Preston has built an atomic bomb or whatever. I like the delivery of this Preston guy, but no I didn't.
When they get there, by the way, we should point out again, they take the air balloon and he's like, all right, time to just let it down right here. And like, he fucks something up and the balloon farts all over, like you let air out of a real balloon, and he falls again hilariously through something.
But it's so cheap, we never see the balloon.
That's, you know, of course.
Like you hear it and everyone's like, you see a bunch of people looking left, right. Oh my God.
That's honestly though, Steve, I prefer using your actors like that and having sound effects versus what you know would be a god-awful special effect to try to make a balloon fly around.
Very true.
It would look like shit.
You'll believe a balloon can fly.
But yeah, he comes in and it's like, uh-oh, like this thing, they start it up, like Preston doesn't listen to anybody, like, fuck off, let's start it up, and it's overloading, and we got a fun little dial, like the terrorist color alert levels that we had here in the early aughts, orange, yellow, red, whatever.
I think Darwin confirms it, or that it's a bomb or something. Yeah. Preston says, shut up, you stupid old man.
That's pretty great. Oh, I was looking in my notes. The last, so it's like, you know, caution, danger, whatever. The funny part is on the end of it, it says, the top tier bad one is extreme danger with a skull and crossbones thing, like built into the label.
Sure. Right. They made that. Yeah. I don't know. It's not dangerous, but I'm putting on these gauges that says it is.
You want to make sure if it happens, you know it's going to happen.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
You will turn into this skull. Yeah,
you will be a skeleton.
Albert
absolutely.
Has to eat an apple and think for a minute. Everyone's freaking out. Let's run away from here. Preston goes back to Charles Darwin.
Yeah.
And that whole exchange of like, it's an atomic bomb. There's nowhere to run to.
Unless you get young Einstein to play AC/DC's Thunderstruck at the atomic bomb, then maybe, just maybe, we might win.
The idea is to suck the energy out of the bomb by playing guitar.
Makes total sense.
Is he actually playing Thunderstruck?
No,
oh, okay. But yeah, so he's just jamming. I do love, like, yes, we're doing things like, oh, I have to stop, take a bite of this apple and think, because you are watching that clock tick by to get to feature presentation.
Absolutely.
That's right. We try to give Marie Curie a little agency here. Well,
she knocks him out.
Yes. Well, he pulls out this pistol. I love the giant scope thing on this.
That's right.
Yeah, he's going to kill Albert Einstein.
And he also mutters, Albert Einstein, what kind of name is that for a scientist?
And he gets knocked out by Marie Curie. So that's sort of something.
Six Semper Scientist.
Yeah, exactly. He gets hit. She hits him over the head, like, with the award, which is pretty great. And then there's like a dent in it.
And
not too shabby.
Yeah. And now we're doing, this is very music video now. While he's playing the music, we get like the electric skeleton inside of him.
A little skeleton going on. You start to see the genesis of his body. First, it turns into, he's like an Oompa Loompa kind of, like, it's very orange and his hair's fucked up.
Yes.
And then, yes, the much like Daniel Stern in Home Alone 2, the skeleton while he's being
second skeleton gag in the movie. The first one I like a lot, which is when he's waiting for the train.
Yes, yes.
He looks over to his left and there's a guy with a train program who's just a skeleton.
Yeah.
Always love that.
Yep. That's pretty
good. You dump a skeleton in a movie, I'm laughing. I don't give a shit.
A winner every time.
I love skeletons.
So like he jams until the bomb is completely depleted. And yes, it's like a shot like from the feet up and he's like covered in soot and everything and ash and whatever. And then it gets up to his face and we're back at the gag from the first part. And again, it is just an evenly smoothed coating of makeup.
Yeah.
And Marie Curie comes up and it's like, oh, Albert, you saved us. She gives him a big kiss. And then when he pulls back, her red lipstick has gone over his lips and he gives a big smile.
Yeah.
And
you're just I don't think he should have started singing Mammy like that. That was wrong of them to do that.
It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. Maybe that original ending didn't happen.
Yes.
You know what this movie needs, says the Warner Brothers executive. More blackface jokes.
I mean, we were doing them in 30 Rock did that. Like, you know what I mean? We were doing,
people
were still doing it until like this year.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that this is like a singled out whatever.
It's unfortunate.
In the grand tradition of people wrongly and unfortunately doing this.
It should not be in this movie.
No. Bamboozled is maybe the only movie it should be in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it's the whole movie. But
like, what else? Yeah, my point.
I still think the Mad Men one was pretty good because at least it was like in time and it was telling you about the characters.
Yes.
In and a way honestly, that was
it wasn't
like
Jenna Maroney.
So. Yeah, well, some of those 30 Rock episodes, the Jenna Maroney one, but the thing is about that episode that's been removed is it's mostly Tracy as like white chicks.
Yes.
And her at the end for a second or two, but it's still not good.
No,
but good show overall.
Oh, my God. We're going through it right now. It's fucking fantastic. So yeah, he has his big sort of hero's welcome, much like the end of the film Willow.
Yeah.
Back to the tiny village. Everyone's excited.
And you want to talk about looking at the clock. Like, could we call it? No, we need 7 minutes. We need 7 full minutes right now.
Does he not rock and roll for the entirety of this song?
You know, we do get a, you know, little political commentary. Uh-huh. Like he's going to give like the formula to the governments of the world.
Yes.
If you can't trust the governments of the world, who can you trust?
It's not too bad. Like, I guess that's another better late than never, Yahoo. That was a decent line in the last 4 minutes of this movie.
And then we get, you know, a not very good Chuck Berry cover. I wish it was one of those 80s jams instead of
rock and roll music. Mm. Everybody don't toot it.
Yeah, that's like Xerics.
But it is a weird, he's, because they're like, oh, you know, Albert, what's next? Because you're clearly a brilliant scientist. Yes. And he's like, well, I think I could just show you my next theory. And I'm like, that's not all right. But just please end it.
And then like a young Louis Strauss, like, Albert, side of my, oh.
Oh. Snubbed at the rock concert.
I'm going to start the FAA.
But we slow-mo and then freeze frame on him like jumping with the guitar.
Yeah,
And then a nice, speaking of Looney Tunes, like in cursive, the end comes out.
You think Robert Downey Jr. ever saw Young Einstein?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's like, wow, well, that's around the horn. Yeah,
he was a fucking drug addict. Of course you're going to watch it.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Ice House over the end again.
Hey, Robert, John's got Young Einstein on VHS. It's supposed to be fucking awesome.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's watch it. Let's watch right now. Yeah, buddy.
That was one of his first low points. Like, what am I doing with my life? I got an Oscar.
That was the point where he started to clean himself up. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, oh, fuck, I got excited to watch Young Einstein. Better go to rehab. But yeah, that is the end of this movie, folks. That is the conclusion of Young Einstein, Yahoo Sirius's directorial debut. Go around the horn here. Final thoughts, Steven Sadak.
Oh, it's a no. I never liked this movie as a kid for some reason. Like, I think my godmother's son, who I hung out with a ton as a kid, loved it. And I was like, I hate this. Even as a little kid, I was like, I hate this movie.
Was it a thing like every time you hung out like at that dude's house or whatever, we're putting the tape on?
It was in the rotation. It was like, you want? It was like, I do not want to do Young Einstein.
Yeah, what else you got? Literally anything. Literally, yeah. I'll watch a tape of your parents fucking, whatever you got. Like,
that'd be something. That's what you label that Young Einstein so no one plays it. And then,
Robert Downey Jr. is watching it.
Oh, fuck. I labeled it Young Frankenstein. They are going to watch it.
Or you label it WrestleMania and they put it in. And it's like, oh, fuck, Young Einstein. Gross.
Ew. Yes, it's a big fat no for me.
Chris Cabin.
Yeah, I got to agree with that. I did watch this a bunch as a kid, so I do remember enjoying it. I did enjoy it at some point. And I do think if you are a parent and this shows up somewhere, it probably will work for your kids. There's a lot of buoyant, insane energy to it that I think they probably appreciate more than I do, at least in this like totally sporadic way that it's being deployed here. I do enjoy some of like that, a fact that it's a real kangaroo I'm seeing, the fact that it is a physical comedy.
There's also a little koala is very adorable at one point.
There's good animals and all that. These are the positives here, but they're pretty scant to me. So overall notes for me.
I'll jump in and say this is the other day was the first time ever I watched this movie.
I've never seen you so angry.
It was rough, man. It didn't work for me. It did not work. And that happens. It's all right. It happens. You know, I did not have the benefit of seeing it as a child. So there's absolutely no nostalgic attachment to it. I will say I love Australia. I love the people of Australia. I think you've made plenty of amazing movies that I've enjoyed over the years. Beautiful landscape, all that stuff. This just, it is a big steer clear for me. And now, a note from the other side of the aisle.
Yes, it's a big yes for me. Because honestly, I was thinking about this. I don't think there's, this might be the best looking comedy film.
Gorgeously shot. Yeah,
very good.
And the production design, the costumes, they, like, say what you want about Yahoo Serious or the gags. he fucking cared enough to make this look coherent. Mm-hmm. And I know that maybe the story's not completely coherent,
right.
But sure. It looks really good in my opinion. So I am saying yes.
For what it's worth, it's a better edited and executed film than Rollerball.
Exactly. Oh, yes.
Like this, watching this movie makes much more sense, like as a timeline sort of piecing sure. together a movie than Rollerball.
Mr. Yeah. Sirius at the end, when obviously you are turning the rock and roll into the atomic bomb, it should go to night vision, I believe.
The one thing Yahoo's directorial debut was missing was, of course, night vision.
You know, that son of a bitch Hearst hated night vision. He said it would never work.
I should definitely underline that, yes, I saw this as a kid a lot.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it's nostalgia.
When was the last time you had watched it?
Probably 15, 20 years.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, and still like at the same exact level as the last time you watched it?
I
still probably, played as well, I guess?
Probably lesser. Because when I was a kid, I probably liked it a lot more. But I just think it's nice to look at. It's got some of the gags do make me laugh. The Looney Tunes esque
there it is.
stuff does work for me, but I can see definitely it having diminishing returns and not everyone enjoying it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally understand it.
And besides the Chuck Berry cover, excellent soundtrack.
Yeah, I will agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that is going to do it on our episode on Young Einstein. Thanks to
Ryan.
Ryan. Ryan for calling in and requesting this one. I feel like it's also one that has been requested a lot. So it's another nice to check that box, of course. But thanks so much to everybody, the thousands of people who fucking called in, wrote in for the listener request month stuff. It has been another wild, zany year. And proof once again, folks, this shit ain't fixed.
No.
So there you go. But of course, the audience programming continued on the Patreon as well this month. We had a really kick-ass We Love Movies episode all about The Fugitive, directed by Andrew Davis. Fabulous motion picture.
Incredible movie.
We had that. We had a really great animation Damnation this month.
We did on Brave Star, which apparently was the first time we've ever done it.
Could have fooled me.
Surprised all four of us. But
not me.
It was, but that's a really fun cartoon. It gets wacky on that episode. We're
absolutely
having fun with it.
We had a Gleep glossary
on Savage Opress.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a Darth Maul brother, apparently. And there's more than one Darth Maul brother.
Is that the correct pronunciation? Have we ever gotten a hold on this?
You guys give me like the business here when I'm like, people hate my pronunciations of Star Wars shit. Uh-huh. And it's true because I was saying Savage Opress.
And they're giving you shit?
How it's spelled. Okay.
Someone did give me shit about how it's Savage or something.
They should shut up.
Well, they should shut up and go to patreon.com/
Savage. What is this, exactly, fucking like Johnny Depp cologne that I'll never buy?
Yeah, totally, dude. Yeah, exactly. Speaking of people smelling like shit. We also had a banger Nexus that may be out this week, actually. We did a Voyager episode from season 2 called The Thaw with Michael McKean playing a clown. And then, of course, Those Old Scientists from the most recent season of Star Trek Strange New Worlds, an amazing new television show. And we covered that really fun episode there with Jack Quaid and Tony Newsom bringing live action performances to their Lower Decks characters.
And speaking of new shows, we have a brand new show called Too Old for This Shit.
Oh, yeah.
Wherein right now we are recapping X-Men 97 that's currently running on Disney Plus. I believe right now we have one episode. The first two episodes are recapped. The first two-parter has been recapped, which is out now for patreon.com. And also we've also recapped the series premiere of the 92 show. So it's a ton of fun. We're having a blast over there.
Absolutely.
You definitely want to get on the top tier to Patreon.
I mean, there's the savings. It's endless. You got a Rebel Moonmentary.
We
watched the latest Zack Snyder movie. You know, that guy, he's a stupid person's idea of a smart guy, Zack Snyder. We covered his latest opus, and also come see us on the road on the 25th of April.
Hell, just next month, man. Can't even believe it.
It's crazy.
Weeks away.
Weeks away. You got to get these tickets, folks. Atlanta, Georgia, on April 25th will be the City Winery talking gamer.
Ock!
May 14th in Houston, Texas, at the Houston Improv talking RoboCop 2.
Ock!
And the very next day, May 15th, Austin, Texas, Cap City Comedy Club, From Dusk Till Dawn.
Ack!
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of fun. Come on out and meet us.
Yeah, there's meet and greets at all three shows. Tickets at whmpodcast.com. Click on the tour page. It gives you all the ticketing info right there. Now, speaking of next week, something pretty stupid this way comes to We Hate Movies.
Oh, my God.
And you'll be able to catch all this here on the main feed with commercials or, of course, on the Patreon at the $8 level or up to get these ad-free Steve Sadak. What totally ridiculous theme month are we kicking off next week?
Well, sometimes, you know, like this episode, we go on a lot of tangents and we just start talking about stuff. I think a couple of months ago, the idea of doing a Charlie Sheen month was brought up and we were like, LOL, wouldn't that be funny? And then we programmed it. So next month, April will indeed be Sheen Pril for literally no reason. We're not celebrating the man at all. I want to be really clear about that.
For no reason at all. And it's just the dumbest name you could come up with.
Yeah.
So and that's stupid. What's funny about it. So Sheen Pril is kicking off.
And we will say, keep your eyes peeled to like our social and the website and shit so you can see the amazing art that Philippe Sobrero, our good friend, has made for Sheen Pril. It's Charlie Sheen as Napoleon riding a tiger. It's one of the craziest fucking things.
It
will be a t-shirt in the merch store, doubt about it. Good gravy. But so anyway, Sheen Pril is kicking off, Steve, with which Charlie Sheen starring motion picture?
And it's also kind of the beginning of baseball season right now. Therefore, we have to start with Major League.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And make no mistake, folks, I'm a fan of this comedy.
Yeah.
It's been many years, so we'll see about what the diciness
situation
is. I think
there's some dicey Dennis Haysbert going on
there.
Yeah, yes. We will see. And also, we should quickly mention, since some folks know from via social media, Wall Street WLM. We're doing on the Patreon, there will be a Wall Street episode.
Yeah. Absolutely. Which will be, as it turns out, our first Oliver Stone movie covered on the show since The Hand, which was like episode 5 or some shit of this fine program. So, yes, Wall Street will be WLM episode 700, whatever the shit. Very wild how time passes. But until next week on We Hate Movies, where we are talking Major League starring Charlie Sheen and a bunch of other people, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Gavin.
Take it easy.